Evelyne Paradis. I'm the Executive Director of ILGA Europe.
You are attending this conference today on LGBT rights. How do you think things have gone?
So far, extremely well, surprisingly well, if I may say. Just the turnout, for one, is actually quite impressive from where we stand. The fact that so many member states of the Council of Europe are represented is extremely positive. If I may say, we usually, in those kinds of events, we usually see the what we call the usual suspects, so the UK and Sweden and the Netherlands, the good students in the field of LGBT rights. But, you know, to see that you have Albania and Montenegro and so many of the other countries is really a step forward, because you're bringing them to the table to discuss how to progress LGBT equality. So that's quite positive in itself.
What do you infer from the presence of so many member states?
This morning there was a lot of discussion around lack of knowledge, prejudice, ignorance, and I think it is a sign that we're overcoming this, that people are finally understanding that on one hand we are not talking about separate rights and specific rights, that we're just talking about how human rights that have been recognized at international European level apply to people regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And I think that is starting to make it easier for government representatives from more countries to come to the table feeling that they do stand on solid ground, so to speak, and it is about a human rights dialogue and discussion.
What strategy would you employ in a place where there is less sympathy for LGBT issues?
There are a number of things that have worked in the past. If we take countries that have moved forward but started from a more difficult place, engaging constructively with authorities is always important. And where I say constructively, it is about education, it is about raising awareness, it is about not getting angry, even when it's very difficult not to get angry at some of the public authorities for not recognizing that as an individual you have rights, but to educate, to explain what it's like on a daily basis to live, you know, as a lesbian, gay, bisexual or trans person. So that's one step, and also to come up with concrete proposals, you know, of how things can change. Our experience is also to work with other groups is very key, to gain support from other groups that do experience discrimination, but also to work in coalition, because sometimes it's easier to work with either a mainstream human rights organization or groups that work on gender equality, women's rights groups, and so to rally forces, so to speak, and to also show that there are commonalities to different experiences of discrimination and human rights violation, and so that you feel supported both in effect and in reality, that you're not alone, you have friends, but also in your discourse, that it's not just coming from a place of being an LGBT person who experiences discrimination, but it is something that is actually common to many people in society. So those would be kind of two of the strategies. And then the third one is making use of whatever we have as tools that come from the intergovernmental level. So this is going back to the Council of Europe and to the Court of Human Rights, and to really see, I mean, it's been crucial to have the Court of Human Rights and the case law of the Court of Human Rights, and also to have bodies like the Council of Europe developing instruments like the Committee of Ministers recommendation that provide framework guidelines and also something which we can enforce or have a bit of use to have a bit of political pressure.